This is the Sunday Catholic Word, a production of Catholic Answers, the only podcast to look at the Sunday Mass readings from an apologetics perspective.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Sunday Catholic Word, a podcast where we reflect on the upcoming Sunday Mass readings and pick out the details that are relevant for explaining and defending our Catholic faith. I'm Dr. Carlo Broussard, staff apologist and speaker for Catholic Answers and the host for this podcast. Well, my friends, we have made it to the end of Year B. We are going to be looking at the readings in this episode for the last Sunday of Year B, the Solemnity of Our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Universe. The details that are relevant to apologetical discussions come from the first and second readings, Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 through 14 for the first reading, and Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 through 8 for the second reading. The topics that these details give opportunity to reflect on are Jesus' messianic kingship, which is the theme of the solemnity, so obviously, and Jesus' divinity. But how that is so, that's what we're going to talk about. Let's get started with the first reading, again, taken from Daniel 7, 13 through 14. As the visions during the night continued, I saw one like a son of man coming on the clouds of heaven. When he reached the ancient one and was presented before him, the one like a son of man received dominion, glory, and kingship. All peoples, nations, and languages serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not be taken away. His kingship shall never be destroyed. The detail that obviously relates to the solemnity is the everlasting dominion or kingship that this one, like a son of man, receives. Jesus clearly identifies himself as this one like a son of man throughout his ministry, the most contentious being at his trial in Mark 14:62. The church identifies Jesus as this messianic king in the gospel passage of this upcoming Sunday Mass reading, taken from John 18:33 through 37, where Jesus answers Pilate's question, "Are you the king of the Jews?" in the affirmative. So, Jesus' messianic kingship is the key apologetical topic. However, there is more to the story than Jesus simply being the messianic king. He's the divine messianic king. And that's what I'd like to draw out here. Hints of Jesus' divinity, or the one like a son of man coming on the clouds of heaven, are already present in the first reading. New Testament scholar Brant Petrie makes this argument in his book, The Case for Jesus, The Biblical and Historical Evidence for Christ, on pages 143 through 145. Notice, Daniel describes this one like a son of man coming on the clouds. According to the Old Testament, this is something only God does, as Jeremiah 4:13 reveals. Jeremiah writes, "Behold, he comes up like clouds, his chariots like the whirlwind." Notice also that Daniel doesn't say he is a son of man, but he is like a son of man. Dr. Petrie writes on this, "He appears to be merely human figure, but is in fact a heavenly being." That's on page 144 of The Case for Jesus. The contemporary Jewish scholar Daniel Boyrin describes this figure as a second divine figure, the first being the Ancient of Days, and a God who looks like a human being. That's in his book, The Jewish Gospels, The Story of the Jewish Christ, pages 32 through 33. This seems to be how Caiaphas the high priest understood this figure from Daniel when Jesus identified himself with him at his trial in Mark 14:62. When the high priest asked Jesus, "Are you the Christ?" Jesus answered, "I am, and you will see the Son of Man sitting in the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." Mark tells us that immediately after Jesus said this, the high priest tore his clothes and said, "Why do we still need witnesses? You have heard his blasphemy." This theme of Jesus' divinity, and in particular his identity as the divine figure like a son of man in Daniel, becomes explicit in the book of Revelation, a portion of which is the second reading for this upcoming solemnity, taken from Revelation 1, 5 through 8. So we have a continuity of Jesus' identity with one like a son of man coming on the clouds of heaven and the divine note of that imagery. Here's what we read in Revelation 1, 5 through 8. Jesus Christ is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, who has made us into a kingdom priest for his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he's coming amid the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. All the peoples of the earth will lament him. Yes, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, the one who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The kingship of Christ is front and center here, which is pertinent to the solemnity that we're celebrating this upcoming Sunday. But the detail that I want to focus on is the phrase, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the one who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Notice this is said by the Lord God, the Almighty. And this is repeated in Revelation 22:13. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense to repay everyone for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. So Almighty God is the one who is to come in judgment. But guess what? According to the previous verses, in verses 1 and 7 of Revelation chapter 1, it's Jesus who is the one to come. We read this, quote, Jesus Christ is the faithful witness, there in verse 1. Behold, he, and that's referring to Jesus, he is coming amid the clouds. What's the conclusion? Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. That's to say, he's the Almighty God that's speaking. It's he who is saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, and I will come to bring about judgment. And notice also, Jesus is coming amid the clouds. Remember, we said already that to come with the clouds is a prerogative of God, as Jeremiah reveals in Jeremiah 4:13. So Jesus is not merely the messianic king. He is the divine messianic king. That's what the first and second readings bring out for us. He is the one who is coming on the clouds. And insofar as he comes on the clouds in judgment, he is the divine messianic king. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the one who is to come. And insofar as he's the divine messianic king, he is indeed the king of the universe. Since God is, he as God, Jesus as God, is the very creator of the universe. He's sovereign, hence the solemnity name. Jesus Christ, the king of the universe. And he's only king, he's king of the universe insofar as he is divine. That's why it's so important to highlight the divine notes, the divine elements within these readings of the first and second reading. Now, the last detail that I want to focus on coming from the second reading is the statement, he has made us into a kingdom priest for his God and Father. Now, for some Protestants, this is evidence that there's no ministerial priests in the New Covenant, since the Bible reveals that we're all priests as believers. Another common text that's appealed to in support of this claim is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 and 9. Now, I'm not going to spend too much time with this objection because I deal with it at length in my book, Meeting the Protestant Challenge, How to Answer 50 Biblical Objections to Catholic Beliefs. So I'm not going to rehearse everything here, but suffice to say that the affirmation that we're all priests as believers in Christ does not entail the negation of a ministerial priesthood. For example, the Israelites are said to be a kingdom of priests in Exodus 19:6. Yet we know there also existed a ministerial priesthood to serve that kingdom of priests, and that would be Aaron and his sons. Moreover, given that John and Peter view the Christian people as a royal priesthood, signifying that the Christian people are the new Israel of God, it's reasonable to think they also viewed there to be a ministerial priesthood to serve this new Israel of God, just like it was for the old Israel of God. So not only does the affirmation of Christians being priests disprove, not only does the affirmation of Christians being priests not disprove a new covenant ministerial priesthood, it actually provides reasonable evidence for it. So our Protestant friends cannot appeal to a universal priesthood in order to conclude there's no new covenant ministerial priesthood. And in fact, the very text to which they appeal would provide reasonable evidence for a new covenant ministerial priesthood. Well, my friends, that brings us not only to the end of this episode of the Sunday Catholic Word, but also to the end of year B for the cycle of Sunday readings here at the Sunday Catholic Word. The readings for this upcoming Solemnity of Christ the King gives us great apologetical material for Jesus' messiahship. He is the one prophesied about in Daniel 7, and his messianic kingship, of course, but also that he is king of the universe insofar as he is the divine messianic king. And then we have an opportunity to reflect on the New Testament covenantal, the New Covenant or New Testament ministerial priesthood, which participates in the unique priesthood of Christ. And so what we have here are the two essential elements of Jesus' messianic mission, his kingship and his priestly ministry. He is both king and priest. And inasmuch as we are in Christ, we too share in, to some degree, that kingly role of Christ and that priestly role of Christ. Of course, the one that's lacking here would be the prophetical role, but Jesus, of course, is exercising that prophetical role in as much as he's proclaiming to be the fulfillment of the prophecy of the one like a son of man in Daniel 7. As always, friends, thank you for subscribing to the podcast, and please be sure to tell your friends about it and invite them to subscribe as well on any podcast platform they use. You can access the archived episodes at SundayCatholicWord.com. You might also want to check out the other great podcasts in our Catholic Answers Podcast Network: Trent Horns, The Council of Trent, Joe Heschmeyer, Shameless Popery, Jimmy Akins, A Daily Defense, and Tim Staples, 101 with Tim, all of which can be found at Catholic.com. One last thing. If you're interested in getting some cool mugs and stickers with my logo, Mr. Sunday Podcast, go to shop.catholic.com. Friends, I hope you have a blessed Solemnity of Christ the King. And until next time, when we start year C, God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Sunday Catholic Word. Find more great shows by visiting CatholicAnswersPodcasts.com or just search for Catholic Answers wherever you listen to podcasts.